The Broncos have made their way to the Big Easy with hopes to jazz up the offense and get an early fleur de lead.
We're all a little frustrated, but I think we're doing some good things too.
On defense, the Broncos will look to slow down Drew Brees, who's been about as hot as some Cajun cooking.
I mean, he's exceptional, one of the finest players I've ever seen.
Plus, for this Tulane twosome, it's a homecoming back to the Bayou.
You know, growing up, I went to a lot of Saints games, so I know the atmosphere.
Who dat? We dat. The BTV Live pregame show starts right now. Good morning, and thank you for joining us for an early edition of the BTV Live pregame show. I'm Phil Milani, alongside Matt Boyer and Andrew Mason. We are in New Orleans, where the Broncos will look to face the Saints, looking for a win before the bye week. And this comes a week after a frustrating loss to the Oakland Raiders, a game in which the Broncos' offense once again struggled to stay on the field.
Yeah, and struggled right from the start, going three and out on its first four possessions to start last week's game. By the time the Broncos finally got their first down of the game, they trailed 13-0. If they get off that kind of slow start today, Phil and Matt, it's going to be a long day.
And they'll be looking to get off to a quicker
right.
start. Will field position play a big key in that? Because last week, they were backed up right off the start.
Oh, yeah, and you saw that reflected in the stats this week. They dropped down to 28th in the league as far as net yards, 28th on third down. That's down two spots. One stat that I thought was interesting, though, still positive in the turnover margin. They're still plus three, so that's a good sign for the Broncos offense. And Trevor Siemian knows that in order to get things going, like Mace mentioned, they need to get off to a quicker start. And if they get off to a quicker start, that'll get things turned in a positive direction in a hurry.
I think we're all a little frustrated, but I think we're doing some good things too. So it's tough, but you know, I think guys are just working really hard, and that's the thing. These guys are working hard, and we're not seeing it pay off, you know, on Sundays like we want it to. But I think we all got the right mentality, and we're going about things the right way. So I'm sure we'll get it turned around.
Hopefully, they're frustrated enough that we work together to get it fixed. It's not that they're trying to do it poorly. It's just we're not getting it done. We're not quite in sync. So frustration is not a bad thing sometimes.
It's basically me doing my job, and I'm pretty sure being the leader to help everybody do theirs. You know, whatever the coaches ask me to do, or, you know, whatever I'm demanding to do, I just got to do it at the best to hopefully help our offense out.
The other thing, though, that I thought was interesting that we mentioned about last game, those two drops on third down that we saw in those first two series, I think if you eliminate those two, a bit more focus added, I think that they're right back into things as far as getting momentum going and staying in games.
Yeah, they got to eliminate the mistakes. They've only scored 16 points in the first quarter this season, and they lost that time of possession battle last week by more than 20 minutes. Defense on the field for an awfully long time. And it kind of paid dividends in the running game. They could not stop the run. They lost a physical battle last week against the Raiders.
Yeah, they lost a physical battle really on both sides of the line of scrimmage on offense. They weren't getting much of a push off the snap. There weren't many holes for the running backs to work with. And on defense, you saw guys consistently getting pushed off the snap by the Raiders' offensive line. You know, that led to quite a few holes that the Raiders had. And then, of course, when you had missed tackles on the back end, that turns those intermediate gains into long games. A lot went wrong. The Broncos, you know, like you said, they have to be more physical in this game. If they have another game like last week, and really also you can look at the San Diego and Atlanta games last month, they were out physical. That's been a root cause of all three Broncos losses so far this season, guys.
The run defense ranks 29th in the NFL. Is it a pride thing for the Broncos linebackers to come up and fill these gaps?
Sly Williams, we're seeing his first extensive minutes as a starter. And Jared Krick, I think Williams and Krick are struggling to kind of find a little bit of chemistry. I think they'll get it worked out. But right now, the leading tackler for the Broncos is T.J. Ward. He's got 60 tackles. That's 14 better than Todd Davis. When your safety is your starting tackler, that's a bad sign as far as the run game and stopping the run. So while the Broncos do use Ward up in the box as a linebacker type sometimes, you still want to see those front seven guys being your leading tacklers. So I think you're right. I think they do need to step up a little bit.
It'll be a big key for today's game because the Saints have averaged 150 yards rushing over the last three games. And, oh, yeah, they got that guy back there named Drew Brees.
They got Drew Brees, and really, I mean, what makes Drew Brees better than just Drew Brees? Well, it's having a running game that can... Man, him, Tim Hightower and Mark Ingram, each of them have 100-yard games the last couple of weeks. And, you know, Ingram has clearly responded to Hightower getting a few more reps. I think he's taken that. Now, granted, last week they played the 49ers, very bad run defense, and they ran all over them. But when you have Drew Brees in that passing game, it's, you know, it's three-pronged in terms of the receivers that they like to use, plus Kobe Fleener. And then you've got to account for that. And then they hit you with the running game. It really keeps defenses off balance, and the Broncos could have their hands full today.
First in net yards, first in the pass. They're at 70% in the red zone. So when you get the ball out, you're allowing your playmakers on the edge, like Willie Snead, like Mark Ingram, to make plays in the pass and the run. And I think that Brees is the catalyst for all that.
This Broncos defense knows that it's in for a challenge today against the future Hall of Famer.
Going against a great quarterback, you know, arguably, you know, the best all-around quarterback that we have in the National Football League right now, going against him and a great offensive line and a great offense is going to be incredibly tough. But, you know, if we can stick to our plan, I feel like we'd be all right.
He commands that offense. You know, when it comes down to it, you know, he's doing all the play calling. He's making things happen. He's creating plays with his feet. I mean, he's one of the, one of the legendary quarterbacks in our league that understand the game and know how to move the ball. So it's a huge challenge for us to make sure that we own our game.
I mean, we face some really good quarterbacks, and this one's got to be at top of the list. I mean, he's exceptional, one of the finest players I've ever seen, you know, from being a quarterback guy and watching that position. This guy's been exceptional for years and years.
He's not a running quarterback, but he's one of those quarterbacks where he's a little rabbit back there. So he string plays out majority of the time if something breaks down. And sometimes, you know, when the coverage breaks down, he still hits the open guy every time. So his decision-making skills and awareness is always there.
But that's nothing new for Torian Nixon and Lorenzo Doss, because they played their college ball right here at Tulane.
Yeah, Tulane used to play its home games here in the Superdome, of course. The crowd for Tulane games when they played here in the Dome, not quite as raucous as it is for the Saints. So it's going to be a little bit different. But Doss and Nixon, they were teammates at Tulane. They were both drafted in the 2015 draft out of Tulane. Now, it'll be interesting to see how much they play today, because Kayvon Webster is expected back. He missed last week with a hamstring injury, and that's what put Dawson Nixon in the lineup. Dawson, particularly on a particularly extensive basis the last couple of games. So if Kayvon Webster plays, may not be quite the busy homecoming for Dawson Nixon they may have expected last week.
And Lorenzo Doss, when he played here, 15 interceptions in his college career, a big reason why the Broncos drafted
him.
Well,
it's funny because we think back to 2015 and you say, you know, two DBs from Tulane. I mean, what are the Broncos doing here? But mm-hmm. Both guys have really earned their spots. Doss having a terrific training camp this past year. And Nixon, I thought, showed me a lot because he came in and participated in that rookie camp, swallowed a lot of pride and said, you know what, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to come in and teach these young guys. And that hard work has paid off. They've earned the respect of their teammates, and they've also earned active roster spots. And now they've earned a trip home.
Oh, it's going to be pretty cool because, you know, growing up I went to a lot of Saints games, so I know that atmosphere. But to, like I say, to come up in there and be on the opposing team, you know, going up in there to get a win, and I know how that crowd can be, it's going to be pretty cool.
The fans there is awesome, and it's just very intense. Third down is going to be loud, so we just got to play through it, and we expect it.
It's loud. It's crazy. Like I say, it's indoor. So everything echoes, you know, it's a lot of stomping on the floors and stuff like that. So it gets really loud up in there. But like I said, if we go out there and jump out to a lead, we'll silence it pretty quick.
If it's a Monday and the Saints lose, oh, it's one of the worst days. It's one of the worst days ever. So it's just they passionate. They love their team, and they're great fans.
They're on the active roster. We're going to find out if they're going to dress this in just a little bit, but I thought it was interesting, guys. They've been great ambassadors for the Crescent City. They've been doling out restaurant recommendations, yep. Places to go, jazz yes. clubs. They've done a great job as far as showing teammates what New Orleans is all about this week.
Yeah, and the one thing that they mentioned is they grew up going to these Saints games. We're expecting a very loud atmosphere here today at the Superdome, but it won't be anything as crazy as last night out on Bourbon Street. We were walking down there. There was a Broncos fan meetup at the Swamp on Bourbon Street. There was miles down there. Cheerleaders were down there. We were there, too. Willing to bet there's going to be some orange in the stands later on today. We'll have more from the Broncos fan meetup coming up later on in the show. Time now, though, for this week's trivia question. That's who has a better record against the Broncos, the Saints or Drew Brees? You got to remember that Brees spent his first 5 seasons with the Chargers. We'll have the answer coming up later in the show. But first, we caught up with Jim Nantz, who's calling today's game for CBS, and asked him about the premier matchup for today, Drew Brees against the Broncos secondary.
Look, I love the matchup. It's, you know, you've got the number one ranked offense against what many would say is the best defense in football. So there's a lot to like about this one, plus the fact it's so meaningful for each side, both of them finding themselves right in the middle of their division races here as we go on to the second half of the season.
You mentioned the division here, the Broncos coming off the loss against the Raiders. Where do you think the AFC West stacks up against the rest of the league? It's pretty tough, huh?
No, I would say it stacks up in first position. I think you'd have a pretty good argument if you said that the AFC West right now is the best division. I mean, if the playoffs began today, you'd be sending 3 teams to the playoffs. So it's going to be wild to watch what happens the rest of the way. Of course, just staying on point here with the Broncos, knowing they still have one more matchup to come with the Raiders and 2 with Kansas City. And we're going to be covering some of those games, so it's going to be really interesting to watch how it all shakes out in the end.
I know you call majority of the games AFC games, so you don't get to come to New Orleans too much.
Rare.
But you called a couple of Final Fours here. You have any good memories being down here in New Orleans?
I've got a lot of good memories here. I actually called the Super Bowl that was here just 3.5 years ago, when Baltimore beat San Francisco. We had the call on that game. So I've had a number of Final Fours, and they just announced New Orleans is going to host the 2022 Final Four. So full disclosure, I lived in New Orleans as a young boy for about 3.5 years, and I was in this city when the Saints were born. And this is their 50th season. And I was there for their very first game in franchise history, which was, if I have my dates right, I haven't looked it up, but I believe it was September the 17th, 1967. They played at the old Sugar Bowl Stadium, or some knew it as Tulane Stadium, and it was the Saints against the Los Angeles Rams. And the first thing that happened in Saints history was an opening kickoff return for a touchdown by John Gilliam of New Orleans for the Saints. And that was the first football play I ever saw in my life. I was an 8-year-old boy. My father brought me to the game, and we had standing room only tickets, and we got into the stadium in time to watch the opening kickoff. And so some fond memories here, yeah, in New Orleans from my past.